and good morning. It is City Council Day today on the talk show. We've got City Council member Linda Murray joining us. Good morning to Linda. Good morning to John Billups. He is the mayor of the city of Burlington.
Good morning. He joins
me every other week. He'll be back on again on Monday, but that'll be primarily to talk about Notre Dame and a lot of things. You know, we were just talking yesterday about the fact that we had the, you know, the derecho or whatever they wanted to call it, that inland hurricanes slash whatever,
right,
straight line winds.
Derecho.
Derecho. All right. Well, it was wild. It was crazy. And I don't know how many trees went down over town. Did we have any significant damage, as far as you know, anywhere to buildings?
Nothing that was reported, at least to city buildings. And I think, yeah, there were a lot of people lost trees, of course, and I think there was some maybe siding and roof damage, but and nothing that was like they had in middle
goodness.
Iowa.
Marshalltown, 112 mile per hour winds in Marshalltown recorded 90 plus mile an hour winds in the Des Moines area. In fact, they had areas where there was a row, they showed a row, power poles, snap, 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 snap. They all snapped off in a row.
Yeah, they look like toothpicks.
Exactly. And it's, it was a wild day. We had no internet, trying to get, a lot of places still have no power. 340,000 people still have no power as of now. So I guess we actually came out fairly lucky. I drove home and I remember it was like I'm driving home and all of a sudden it's like this thing just whomp. I was crossing Curran Avenue or Curran Street, I guess it was, and on the overpass just as it hit. And all of a sudden I'm seeing a car going, "Ew!" It just almost threw a car right against it. They were able to keep the car on the, you know, on the road. But, it was like, I don't know what the speed of the wind was, but it was. And then I'm driving those last few blocks of residential there, and all of the tree junk from the trees is all just hitting me, and I'm trying to dodge tree limbs. And it was crazy. But
the visual's pretty good there, Steve. I know my neighbor was out filming. She was filming, and you could see the dust and the dirt clods just start to roll, and all of a sudden a big tree comes down in front of her house, and so she took some substantial damage with the trees.
Okay,
house
well,
was fine.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things that, it's just strange and weird, but whatever. It made us realize just how dependent we are on having the ability to pick up our phones and to just simply look up anything we want, or how television has changed, or any of the other things that we do, or all of those things that all depend on an internet. And trust me, this job requires an awful lot of internet to make it work anyway. But again,
hats off to the good people at Alliant Energy. I mean, we all love to complain about our energy bills and the power company, but once again, you know, just like during the ice storm and other catastrophes we've had in Southeast Iowa, our men and women of Alliant were right on the spot, and REC, most of us had our power on within hours. So we didn't have the same amount of damage that middle of
and I never,
did, but we still had damage.
We never lost power. We never lost power in my neighborhood, which was kind of nice. Lost internet, but then again, so I don't know of anybody who didn't lose internet. But regardless, it was a crazy day. City Council Day today on the talk show. And I guess the question we had was we asked the question yesterday. We know when the internet went out, we just had no idea when it was going to be coming back on. It was sort of like he said, well, it sort of fits the coronavirus, doesn't it? We know when it started. We just have no idea when it's going to end. And that is it's unsettling, especially I'm not sure. There's apparently they've been trying to negotiate city and state dollars, local and state dollars to come out and help fill in the gaps. I don't know if anything's going to ever come of that, because there seems to be In an election year, everybody's got something to either gain or something to lose, and nobody wants to lose. So, but I'm not sure where we stand. City finances, I did have Jim Furno on, and he said we don't really know. He said we can't know until we get into it. Totally unrelated or totally related, I guess, depending about it. You know, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, no football. Mm-hmm. But high school football is still going on, apparently, so far.
Yeah. There's a couple things we do know. We do know our hotel motel tax dollars so far are currently on pace to be 25% to 30% off.
Okay.
I mean, they've rebounded a little bit, but it looks like on average, by the time we get to the end of the year, we're still going to have 25% drop. So we know that that's coming. We do know our sales tax dollars are off and our road use tax dollars are off. Now, we don't know how much those two are going to rebound in the next few months. But we do know we're going to be short. Now, the factors that we're unsure of are the exact amount of help that we're going to get from the state or the Fed to offset some of those dollars. It will be an interesting budget next year as we try to go forward. There's a lot of uncertainty. Thankfully, we do have Jim. We rely on him a lot.
He's got a sharp pencil and he's making it work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. He's making it work, but that doesn't always mean it's going to come without some pain, some cost, but we're working on it.
And John is exactly right. It doesn't come without some heartburn, some anxiety for people. And we have to be comfortable at this point with not knowing. And I say that a lot. We have to be comfortable not knowing, but not knowing when that internet was going to come back on was very unsettling to me yesterday.
Well, that's unsettling, but I think the fact is we don't know if this, and we were talking before we went on, that the tests for the coronavirus have been so absolutely all over the board and so inaccurate and taking so long to come back, and when they do come back, no guarantee that there is that it is either reasonably right or wrong. It's frustrating, and I think that's one of the things you were talking. In fact, you had sent me a text message saying that coronavirus cases were surging, but we don't know for sure if even that is
accurate.
Is accurate mm-hmm. itself. But I guess and the other thing, we don't know what's going to be happening. We don't know what's going to happen once we get into the real flu season. And I know you had you told me the Navy story about what they do to what they do to treat the flu. But that's another story. The thing is, what impact will the future have, and what sort of things are going to cause some ill? One thing I haven't gotten is I've got a property tax bill, and I realize property taxes are due in September, and I normally get that, it seems to me, and I normally get that sometime early in August. I haven't seen it yet. I'm sure it probably means it's probably coming into me today, probably,
right,
is what it means.
Right.
But I don't know where, and also, I guess a question from the standpoint of revenue, you mentioned the fact that hotel motel taxes are way down. I know that we're going to have the sales tax revenues considerably down. Two factors that go directly into the flood mitigation project that is going up for bid, I believe. If I'm right, it's going up for bid this within the next few weeks. Is that not right?
Yeah. We were thankful for good, sound financial management by our city staff, because we can still proceed with those projects at this point in time, given that we had some surplus that we're working with, and there are some offsetting funds that are coming in. So we're learning a real, as a nation, especially us, city council and city government, we're learning a real lesson in flexibility and adjusting on the fly.
Yeah.
So, we are still proceeding with the bid on the riverfront wall. That project's still going forward. Tiger Grant, and we're working hard on getting some of that stuff ironed out. We had a couple of wrenches thrown in the works, but thankfully a few phone calls to our senators and our House rep on the federal level has helped kind of clear the way there. We're not home yet, but we're getting close. You know, so it's requiring a little, it's requiring more effort than the status quo. And I think as long as we collectively as a community put that effort out, we're going to be all right.
And I know that we also talked a little bit about what Jim was here. We were talking about road use tax is one of the things used for a lot of the streets, a lot of your streets and road budgets, people haven't been driving as much, and those dollars. In fact, there's very few places where the dollars are up. If the places that I know that things are up surging, they are surging at home improvement stores. Mm-hmm. I don't believe we have any within Burlington. Now, wait a minute, Burlington, West Burlington. Do you guys share? That's a shared revenue, isn't it, in terms of sales tax?
Yeah.
So, lawn and garden centers, things like that. Those are surging as well because people are doing a lot of stuff at home. Right now.
And Steve, I heard that airline miles are up, so people are starting to feel comfortable flying again.
Okay,
so there's some promise on the horizon.
There is some promise on the horizon. The question is, we just don't know what the next where the next shoe will fall, I guess, so to speak. I'm not sure if that's the right word to, shoe to drop or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I guess you have hope. And get a virus, get a vaccine in there. But beyond that, I think it's anything goes, right?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of good things that have come out of this. And you know, you reflect and look back. One, people are working on their properties. You know, the last thing the city wants to do is have to enforce public nuisance, right, for properties that are run down or need to be mowed. So people are putting more effort in their homes right now. Also, they've discovered some of the amenities here locally that maybe we would have looked further out away from us, like Big Hollow or even the
surging.
Mississippi River.
Big Hollow has been surging. Yeah. Flint Hills has had a good season.
They've had a good rebound, and so people are looking within our community at some of the things that we took for granted. So. The other thing is it would appear that neighbors are reaching out to more, looking out more for each other. So if there is anything positive, and I'm always a person that looks for a positive, if there's anything positive coming out of this, that's it. We're rediscovering what a beautiful city we have, a beautiful area we have, and some of the amenities that we have that when people come in from out of town, they look at Burlington and think, wow, how can you have all this? But we kind of take that for granted because we get jaded.
You know, it's interesting. I've got a lot of friends of mine and a lot of people that have been on RAGBRAI with me from the Seattle and the Portland areas, and those cities have just been simply devastated by continual riots, demonstrations, a lot of things. In Chicago, they had downtown, the Miracle Mile in Chicago, those fabulous stores, Bloomingdale's and Neiman Marcus and all of those stores raided and windows broken. It seems that we have, I'm not sure if it's restlessness that's out there. We don't have, the nice thing about being in Burlington, Iowa is I haven't seen any of that.
Yeah. I just had some friends that, they have been vacationing in Burlington, Iowa from Kenosha, Wisconsin. Now, Kenosha is right on the Lake of Michigan.
Okay.
They're right next to Chicago. They have theme parks there and everything, but they've come to Burlington. They used to come for Steamboat Days. They keep coming because of Fun City, the water park, the indoor arcade. They bring their kids. They go to the golf courses we have here. All three are excellent. And they were here just this last weekend. She said, we had to get out of town, so we came to Burlington. So... And they love our restaurants.
And
you know,
I said, can they shoot a commercial for us? That's what I said to John. Can they shoot a commercial for us?
I have said many times over the years to people, said, you know, especially people I meet on RAGBRAI, you know what, you're still in Burlington? I said, well, yeah, I still, I find the bike riding around here is wonderful. There's a lot. Yeah, do we have a lot of trails? I mean, I don't like trail riding anyway. I like being out on the open highway, but you've got a lot of very low density traffic roads that we can ride on around here. I said, that's one thing. And the other thing is the quality of life, in Burlington and I feel safe, and quality of life feels very, very good. It's always felt very good here.
Yeah, I think part of that is, you know, we don't have as much unrest because our communications, as far as the city end of it, the city in communications have definitely improved vastly over the last 10, 12 years. A lot of that goes to the previous council. A lot of that goes to Shane. You know, he's just our previous mayor was over the top friendly, and so people felt they could finally express their opinion and they'd be listened to. And I think this council has tried to continue that. So hopefully that leads to less unrest. Now, they might not always like what we have to say, but hopefully they know we're listening.
And I think that there's, as I said, there are a lot of decisions that you have to face coming up here. A new police chief, Dennis Kramer, is retiring, so that means a new police chief. Now, I don't know. I'm going to guess the search is going to be going underway. If it isn't already underway, I'm going to guess it's going to be going underway soon. Is that right?
Yeah, John's on the search committee, and he's got lofty goals, and he asked, who did you just ask to be? Got turned down.
Oh, I did. You know, Carmen Best, the Seattle police chief, who I really admired how she handled the way she was thrust into a situation. She was kind of handcuffed by her city council as far as what she could or could not do. So on Monday, I took a shot. I invited her to apply for the police chief position in Burlington, Iowa. And she, that was Monday. Today's what, Wednesday? She responded back today that she appreciated the kind invitation. I made it sound rather attractive, and I did lay it on pretty thick, but she's not looking to step into a police chief role. So, you know, on the police chief search, well, obviously we're going to look in-house. We have some very good candidates there in-house, and we've looked in-house prior.
Historically, you've got a record, at least the last several have all come from within promotions within that department.
And we've hit home runs there. We've had some great leadership out of our police department, and we want that to continue. But as these retirements have happened, and those guys are all the same age, all of a sudden that pool's becoming smaller within our department. So, in the spirit of trying to be the best we can, we're going to look outside and inside the department. With the council's blessing, I put together a little citizens committee. We already know what our qualifications that we're looking for, but we met last night to discuss what emphasis and attitude attributes we'd like to see out of our next chief. Because in this day and age, I think we have several committees and commissions that people serve on. This is probably one of the second most important hire the city makes. And so I thought it would be great, and the council thought it would be great to give citizens some input. So we selected some people that were involved in the anti-violence forums previous year and the demonstrations, also some previous council, current council, some religious leaders, and also some people with police experience. And we got together and talked about that last night. It was a good discussion, and we're going to try to give our city manager an extra set of criteria to look at as he's making this selection.
We had Chief Kramer and also the Sheriff Mike Johnstone on our Peace Officer show last Thursday. And one of the things that is facing law enforcement right now that both talked about and both have talked about is how difficult it is to find quality recruits, quality people, quality applicants for patrolmen and peace officer jobs. I think that is a factor that they have been facing and seeing diminishing. And I think a lot of people are just law enforcement programs in Western Illinois pretty much have evaporated.
You know what? The police do a tough job. We ask them to do something we won't do for ourselves, and that's to police us. If we didn't break the laws, we wouldn't need police.
Yeah.
But we do, and so those are the guys, them and the fire department. They run to danger, not run from it, and it is a tough, tough job, and they need to feel supported. Now, our problem in Burlington is always going to be money. A lieutenant in Iowa City makes what our majors make, and our majors are a veteran staff. And so, yeah, it's a bigger town with bigger issues, but it does come down to dollars a lot of times. So what we need to do is make sure that when we hire someone that they know that our city is behind them and looking forward, not backwards. And so working hard on that, I think it would be it's going to be a tough task, but we'll figure that out. I will say it was encouraging the fire department was hiring. In fact, the police department's hiring. Anybody listening has leanings toward being a policeman, apply. The fire department had 19 quality candidates this time, is what Chief Trexel told me. They've had some attrition from retirements and stuff. And he said it was going to be a tough choice. And we haven't been able to say that a lot lately. Yeah,
that's
that we
a
had
good position
that.
To be in when you have a plethora of applicants that are qualified.
Hopefully that's the cycle it's turning for us.
Well, I guess that is a question. It's hard when all of the news and all of the information that's out there and all of the social media is what it is, and anti-police and police defunding and you name it. It wears on, I'm sure it has an effect. It wears on people that might be even thinking about it or considering something like that. We're going to take a break. We've got our special guests, Linda Murray, city council member, John Billups, the mayor of the city of Burlington. We'll talk more city council business and more to talk about right after this.
All right, everybody.
It's Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
The biggest loser, though, last night to me was Zion Williamson and the Pelicans. Because basically what New Orleans seemed to be saying, to me at least, was we're not really interested in actually going out and competing as aggressively for a playoff spot as maybe a lot of people anticipated we were.
It's Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Weekday mornings from 5 to 8 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
The folks at Standard of Beaverdale are proud of the Notre Dame Nike baseball team and their successful season. Way to go, team. We also want to give a huge congratulations to the SCC graduates. Good things are happening in our community, and we're happy to be part of it. Being a local family business, our customers are our friends and neighbors, and that's just the way we like it. Come on out to Standard and take a look at all we have to offer and have the satisfaction that you're helping out a small business. Although you won't think we're small when you see all we have to offer. Take our Carhartt department, for example. We have the best selection of Carhartt in the entire area. It's not just jeans and coats. We have scrubs, Force t-shirts that wick away sweat, shirts, flame-resistant clothes that are great for welders, etc. We have clothes for women and children as well as men. There are some great women's lightweight leggings. You can't beat Carhartt durability. We have accessories like belts and wallets. We have Red Wing boots, Irish Setter boots, and dry shod. Come on out to Standard of Beaverdale. Let's make it a good day together.
Today on Hey Culligan, smoother skin for the win, we've got Claire in Delaware.
Hey Culligan, the water in my shower makes my skin feel like I'm 90.
Okay, first off, Claire, are you 90?
No.
Okay, second, how do you feel about high-efficiency water softeners from Culligan?
Huh.
Actually, Claire, how do you feel about smoother skin and luxurious hair?
Oh, my gosh. Love it, have to have it.
OMG indeed, Claire. We're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with a local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
How much money would you like to save just by doing something you're already doing? How about 40%? With Allstate, safe drivers can save 40% just by doing something they're already doing. Driving safe. That's right, 40% just by driving safe. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent for a quote today and see just how much you can save when you drive safe with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Savings vary and based on DriveWise and other safe driving discounts. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News brought to you by Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill, featuring a full menu including seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, and appetizers, as well as nightly specials. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. The Burlington School District will be requiring face coverings for both students and staff during school hours this year. On Monday, the Burlington School Board approved the second reading of the new policy as the school year approaches. The policy states that face coverings will be required inside all school facilities, including buses, during the normal school day unless a distance of 6 feet can be maintained between people. This was the third reading of the policy, with multiple modifications being made to address various issues brought up by the board. In the end, this new policy was approved by a 4-3 vote. The Henderson County Sheriff's Office has announced the arrest of a Burlington woman on domestic violence charges. According to a news release, Henderson County deputies responded to a call from a home in Stronghurst at around 9 p.m. Saturday in response to a report of domestic violence. After an investigation, deputies discovered that 25-year-old Amber Brewer of Burlington had threatened to shoot her boyfriend's truck after an argument. Brewer was arrested on charges of aggravated assault and possession of a firearm without a FOID card. She was taken to the Henderson County Jail. Authorities say an off-duty Iowa sheriff's deputy has died in an accidental shooting. The Ottumwa Police Department said in a news release that officers responded Tuesday morning and found that 35-year-old Brian Rainey had sustained a gunshot wound to his torso. WHO-TV reports that the deputy with the Mahoska County Sheriff's Office died from his injuries. Police say the firearm was discharged accidentally. Hundreds of thousands across the Midwest remained without electricity after a powerful storm packing 100-mile-per-hour winds battered the region. Monday's storms caused widespread property and crop damage and the deaths of at least two people in Indiana and Iowa. The storm, known as a derecho, tore from eastern Nebraska across Iowa and parts of Wisconsin and Illinois. In Iowa, three mobile coronavirus testing sites were temporarily closed after suffering storm damage. Governor Reynolds has said early estimates indicate 10 million acres have been damaged in the nation's top corn-producing state. From the KBOR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Pam Husso. The White House says there's room for compromise on the next coronavirus relief bill, but
if the Democrats are focused on politics and don't want to do anything that's going to succeed for the president, there won't be a deal.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin on Mornings with Maria on the Fox Business Network. Democrats want a much larger package than the White House. A first appearance and a fundraiser. That's the agenda for the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden and his running mate, California Senator Kamala Harris.
First of all, is the answer yes?
The answer is absolutely yes, Joe, and I am ready to work. I am ready to do this with you, for you. I'm just deeply honored.
That campaign video posted on Twitter, the Trump campaign calls Harris a phony who will pull the Democratic Party further to the left. America's listening to Fox News.
The weather outside is beautiful, and that means it's patio season. It's time for sun, fun, and exceptional food and drinks, only at Kelly O'Shea's. Dine in for fresh summer delights, or use their carryout and curbside pickup options, available on Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays, to keep you warm and happy during the day's end. Check out their menu at Kelly O'Shea's Pub's Facebook page to see what's to offer. Not your average pub, not the average way. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Mostly sunny and a high today, 85 degrees. Mostly clear tonight. Look for a low down to 64. Should be sunny Thursday, high up to 87. Partly cloudy Thursday night, a low down to 66. Continued mostly sunny Friday, 88. And mostly sunny Saturday, 87. Sunday mostly sunny, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. A high of 85. Sunny on Monday and Tuesday, highs 80 and 77. Right now, skies continue to be sunny, 74 degrees.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Stocks are rebounding from yesterday's losses on Wall Street. The S&P 500 index now a little more than 1% away from its record high. Wall Street executives are cheering Joe Biden's running mate selection, calling Senator Kamala Harris a thoughtful moderate. Avenue Capital CEO Mark Lasry, also part owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, calls Harris the perfect partner. Citigroup's Ray McGuire and Centerview Partners co-founder Blair Efron each call Harris a great choice. A note from Signum Global to its clients calls the ticket moderate. Investors like that. The U.S. has reached a deal with Moderna to buy 100 million doses of a coronavirus vaccine it's working on, provided it's safe and effective. The governor of Texas says no, the bars cannot open yet until the virus caseload improves. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin clarified that President Trump's proposed capital gains cuts have to go through Congress. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
9, 10.
Honey, you have really been making the most of being at home. I haven't seen you work out this hard in years.
I feel great. And honestly, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix. That's the testosterone booster that has the TV ads with Frank the Big Hurt Thomas, right?
Yeah, this is an amazing product. The patented ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass. Nugenix is a great way to boost lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
insurance.
Well, you are looking good and have been quite the tiger lately, too. Nugenix is definitely working for you and for me.
Yeah, and all I had to do was send them a text to get my complimentary bottle. Text BEAT to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text BEAT to 42424 right now. Text BEAT to 42424. That's BEAT to 42424.
It's time to make a splash at Hucks Harbor at Fun City. Hucks Harbor Indoor and Outdoor Water Parks are now open for the season. Brave the River Ruckus Slide, 429 feet of twisty, turny curves, or relax and float the Lazy River. Little ones can romp on the splash pad or take a dip in the pool. Everyone will love tasty treats from the Snack Shack, and adults will want to check out the cool cocktail selection at the Tiki Bar. Admission is only $10. Enjoy fun in the sun daily at Hucks Harbor from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Paint? No. Paramount isn't just paint. It's the number one paint in overall interior hide and stain resistance, providing the most advanced protection in just one coat. And now you can get that same outstanding protection with our new Paramount One Coat White. This first-of-its-kind one-coat ready mix white provides a beautiful white finish. You'll find Paramount paint exclusively at Menards. In third-party tests, interior paint claims versus super premium home center brands in eggshell sheen.
Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Savings are mail-in rebate. See store for details.
And there's a change in the weather.
It's horrible out here.
And you need to know.
I've never seen it like that.
Get fast, accurate weather information.
Your storm warning will remain in effect.
On air and online.
I always know it can be there.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
Welcome back. City Council Day today. The mayor of the city of Burlington, John Billups, is joining us. Linda Murray, city council member.
And pro tem.
And mayor pro tem. Oh, excuse me,
you,
Linda Murray. I didn't give you your official title. Thank you, John, for correcting me on that.
I just
that.
Want someone to know it's, if I go down, we're in good hands.
Okay.
All right, captain.
You know, it has been a strange, we are not even quite to 5 months into this thing. March 17th was when the governor's decree came down. We're on, the 12th of August right now. But
it seems like 15 months, Steve.
But it's you know, it does seem, and we have the problem we have is the same problem we talk about. And in terms of when I was talking to Jim, it's like you can set up a budget, but how do you budget when you have no idea what the circumstances are going to be that you're going to be budgeting for?
Yeah, everything's best guess. Right,
that's all you can do is if you use the Dave Ramsey method, you plan for the worst and hope for the best. But beyond that, there's not, I guess.
Aren't we really thankful right now that our previous councils have decided to put in a financial plan that had cash reserves? I mean, if we wouldn't have done that 10, 12 years ago, started that process, and basically started when Jim was hired. If we wouldn't have done that, we were already close to insolvency.
Yeah.
We would have been insolvent as a community right now.
And so, we can be thankful.
So thank you for councils and mayors.
We can be thankful for that, and I guess we can be thankful that most of everything that you have on your docket to be done is underway and is continuing. There may be some changes that we may not know about, but I'm certain the next budget season won't begin until when? Until you guys meet back again in January, is that right?
Department heads will start probably around November, December, isn't that right, Linda? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we'll meet and we'll go through it January, February, March. But, you know, the biggest thing is there could be some things pushed off, you know, as far as projects.
With the situation, I know we had, my water bill's due this month, coming up in a few days. It'll be an auto pay, but it's one of those things. The waters, we had talked about the fact that DNR and also the fact that to stretch the payments out on all of this, storm sewer separation projects, because that was, what, a $100 million project, if I'm right. Is that right? $200 million?
Well, more. I think what we have left is around $110 just in the sewer separation. And the city has already invested close to $20 million over the last few years. So the goal is to get an extension on that. It was supposed to be done in 2025, 2028. The goal is, and we've asked for an extension to 2068, because we not only do we have to separate the sewer, the separation project, but we're going to have other components that break down or need to be replaced.
And the sewers, well, yes, and the separation, and these sewers that we have were built a very, 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 very long time ago.
When the dinosaurs were walking Earth. Well, not quite that early.
Yeah. Maybe not quite that long, but the Hawkeye sewers.
I think that's the argument, is that this problem didn't occur overnight, and it's not, or even over a decade. And so it's pretty short-sighted for us to have a federal mandate that says within a decade we have to have it fixed.
Okay, let's talk about some things that are going on. The flood mitigation project is going to be happening. You do have, if I'm right, I'm not sure if it's boutique hotel that they were talking about, but the old police station is going to be torn down, and then another facility is going to be put in there. Do we have any idea when that's going to happen?
Well, that has been somewhat temporarily delayed, not canceled, but delayed. They did not acquire the housing tax credits that they were looking for. They're applying for some other tax credits. They Merge LLC has acquired the building next to the PD, but they have not acquired the PD building yet.
Okay.
And they also found out the demolition costs were going to be a little bit more than what they anticipated. But we're working with them to make sure that project still goes through. It may be delayed 6 months to a year, but still working on it.
Now, down the street, you've got another, as I said, another complete renovation going on after the big fire from, God, when was the fire? Was it 2 years ago?
Two years.
And I know that there was a lot of red tape in terms of historical preservation and trying to jump through a lot of hoops to get that project. Do you know where we stand on that?
The developers ready to turn dirt in February, March, whenever the weather cleared. He was held up by the State Historic Preservation Officer, SHPO. They were waiting for some designations as far as how he was going to honor the old Tama, because it is a complete rebuild. And so that was stagnated. And at the urging of council, we placed a call to this governor to ask if she could kind of help us with that, because we had a thread and there was a bureaucratic logjam. I don't know if it was the governor or not, but we called on Friday, and on Tuesday it was magically approved. So,
okay.
You know, that's the way government works sometimes. So now the developer's got a couple little steps to do, and assuming his contractor is available, he could actually start on that yet this year.
Now, there's another housing project even farther down the street as we continue on. I don't know where. Do we have any new word on that, Linda?
Is that the McConnell Lofts
No,
project?
That'd be the,
no, that would
the
be...
Blau, the Blau LLC,
yeah,
the apartment building. That's the old... real old timers will know it as Scarrick's.
Okay.
And then it was hopefully yours. That project, we're looking at October 1st, maybe opening date. The city is going to be working on a parking lot soon at 5th and Valley, which will be leased to that apartment, or majority of the spots will be leased to that apartment building. And then if everything goes to plan, they'll start on the old Lamont buildings, or where Moto's is at, and they're going to put in apartments there. So there's a lot of expansion in downtown Burlington, or potential expansion for housing in downtown Burlington, which is a one segment of our town that is really growing.
It is growing, and because of maybe not necessarily totally coronavirus, but a lot of it is the fact is that has dropped interest rates down to bare minimum. And you're talking about refinancing.
Oh, yeah. 2.75.
Yeah.
And Linda's right, too. The McConnell Loft, we can't... because that's a private building, they're not really getting any assistance that I know of because it's private condos. And that building is still underway, too. So there's, man, there's, if you wanted to live downtown right now, and a lot of down on Fifth Street, there's a potential project for upper story development. The West End is doing well with upper story development. If you want to live downtown, now's the time. It's just glorious down there. It's good restaurants and bars. However, I would tell you, restaurants in Burlington, what are you all doing closing on Monday? Everybody's closed on Monday downtown. So besides the Drake and the Somme, open up. You know, serve people. Or at least pick a different day.
There you go.
I'm just saying.
Can't get your hair done and can't get a bite.
Yeah, can't get your hair done. Not that I have to worry about
my
hair.
What's up with that?
I guess some things you just have to put up with. You know.
No. But there's a lot of great things going on in Burlington. Period. So.
And I know that the street work you mentioned, street work going on. I know that we talk complete streets and bicycle lanes and things like that, but all of those are still kind of proceeding sort of in a...
Have you been on Central Avenue lately? It is smooth after South Street.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that asphalt project is really moving along quickly, and that section from about Angular South to Harrison was really bad. And so that's nearing completion. There were a lot of streets redone last year on North Hill, like 8th Street and 7th Street, and we also have some seal coating. It's not my favorite project, but still seal coating helps us save a road for another few years without a major rebuild, so we have that going on. So we're still getting city business done.
And I guess that's really the best you can do in terms of what you're facing. In terms of what's the biggest challenge that you're facing right now, other than the fact of figuring out what sort of money we might be having? Is that finances? Is that the finances is the biggest, I'm going to guess, the biggest. But what challenges are you facing right now?
I think probably communication. We always deal with trying to communicate the positives to our constituents because it's always easy to look and say, oh, it's another rainy day. We're trying to communicate that the city crews are out picking up limbs if they're in the right of way. So we're trying to communicate that. We're trying to also communicate that go ahead and recycle. Almost $50 a year that's on your waste bill goes to recycling. So go ahead and go down to the recycling center, get yourself a bin. The city has been kind enough to pick up half of your fee for your recycling bin. So go ahead and get that in place and start recycling. You're paying for it anyway. We're trying to communicate that. So I'd say, Steve, probably communication is one of the biggest things that we're up against and we try to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Linda's right on that. I mean, we have multiple departments have Facebook pages. The city puts out press releases. We do programs on the radio. We talk to the press. But it always amazes me when someone asks me a question that I think is totally discussed everywhere, and everybody understands where we're at, and they've never heard of it or haven't discussed it. So communication goes a long way. And the other thing I would say, looking for community involvement. One of the things that concerns me is that we see the same people again and again serving on our commissions, and thank God for those volunteers. But this, you know, when Linda and I came in with Matt, there was 14 people running for office. And the very next time there was three, and basically they were recruited because we were trying to find people to run. And we need our community to get engaged.
Speaking of which, we're going to take a break quick, but I did want to say condolences to the family of Christopher Reed, longtime city council member, planning committee, commission member, involved in a lot of things within the city.
Big loss.
And my
heart is sad.
And passing on. Anyways, 9:52 at KBR. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Welcome to the program.
This is the Dan Patrick Show.
The Pelicans, if I'm the Pelicans, I just say to Zion, why don't you go home? But if you're not going to play him, then just send him home. He just doesn't look like he's in shape. I feel like the Pelicans felt like the NBA did everything they could do to get you guys in a position to maybe make it into the postseason, but they can't play the games for you.
Dan Patrick.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, Frigidaire.
What are you doing, Mimi?
Making a list. LG, Samsung.
List of what?
All the brands we carry. Electrolux, KitchenAid.
What for?
I don't think people realize how many brands we have with all of the refrigerators, washer dryers, mowers, and weed whackers.
Beds, too.
Yes, Sealy.
Sealy. Do we have bandages?
Bandages? What do you need bandages for?
Ow, ow, ow!
Papa and I are bit in the birdhouse.
I'll get the first aid kit.
Sears Hometown Store, next to Billy Sims in the city center in Burlington. Big brands at hometown prices with hometown service.
Small businesses across Iowa are continuing to show up for you. They're adapting, they're donating, they're keeping their doors and their hearts open to assist their employees and serve their customers, just like they always have. Small businesses are the backbone of Iowa's communities, and they're backed by Iowa banks. With helpful advice, affordable loans, and essential financial services, banks across Iowa are showing small businesses the way to a stronger tomorrow. Learn more at iowabankers.com.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
They seem more interested in attacking President Trump, and they do it with such passion, than they do about protecting and serving the people that put them in office. And in case they don't know, let me remind them all. Their number one role is to protect, to keep people in their towns, in their cities, safe and secure.
Sean Hannity, afternoons from 2 to 5 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And welcome back on the talk show today. The mayor of the city of Burlington, John Billups, the mayor pro tem of the city of Burlington, Linda Murray, joining us today on the talk show. We're talking about the fact that most everything is continuing on. Some things have been doing a whole lot better than others, but people have been staying close to home for the most part. Maybe eventually that will that'll be changing somewhat. But Burlington's been a destination. You mentioned that at least for some people, and that's a good thing. The Recplex, I'm not sure. I think you've had there's been a fair amount of tournaments there.
Yeah, actually, the Recplex has rebounded fairly well, as far as we're still active. We're not getting maybe the teams from quite as far away as we used to get, but we're having some good tournaments out there and some good participation by the locals and local teams.
So you're, and I know that they have had some. I don't know. I don't think they've had any soccer tournaments. I do know they have had they've had softball and baseball softball tournaments. And we move, as I said. School resuming, we're going to be talking with you a little bit more about Notre Dame and basically how school will be going on our Monday show. But it's one of those things that the uncertainty of things and the fact that we have to be light on our feet, we're kind of tap dancing our way through the rest of this thing. In other words, be light on your feet and be ready to change on a dime. And I was mentioning property taxes coming up in September, but I don't know where do we stand? As far as I know, the taxes stayed relatively flat across the board.
I know the city did not increase their levy, and I don't think the county did as well. So taxes relatively flat as far as that goes. And there was a moratorium on some taxes, too, that when COVID first came up.
Yeah.
But eventually you do have to pay them. So it's kind of like the rent. You know, there was a stay on some rental evictions, but you still have to pay your rent.
There was federal tax. But by the way, the federal, just curious about this, I sent a check to the U.S. Treasury for my U.S. or my federal income taxes on the 15th of July, that was a month ago, and they have not cashed the check yet. And
my
I don't
goodness.
Know.
Well,
they've been busy.
Log jam there. Huh?
I'm guessing that there's a log jam going on in there.
Sounds like it.
You've got a next city council meeting. Is that what's coming up on Monday?
Yes
that's correct.
City council meeting. Yep. And no, if you want to make a comment, you need to call in. Is that right?
That's still where we're at this point.
And probably will be for at least the foreseeable future. Is that your thought?
Yeah,
right now?
You know, the council chambers are pretty small. So by the time we get staff in there that needs to be there and the people making presentations, having the general public in is a little tough. So, our tech people are really helping us with that so we can call in.
When do you hope to have a decision made on the, do you have a target date on when you hope to have a new chief of police or an announcement of the chief?
Well,
of police?
I don't think we're going to be in a rush on that.
Okay.
Chief Kramer's time is up in October sometime. We may have to operate with an interim chief for a little while. It just depends on how quickly everything comes together as far as the candidates.
All right. And we'll be joined by John on our Monday. He joins me every other Monday. I know Pot of Blue and Gold is
really
coming
early,
up. And
Steve.
Trust me. I've already been up for 4 hours when you get here. All right. Linda Murray, Mayor Pro Tem, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Steve. Always my pleasure.
John, thank you, and have a great day.
All right.
You too.
Thanks.
Thank you much.